Crosswires, navigating news with faith with Father Daniel Brandenburg, LC, and Chris McDonald. Crosswires, today's secular news stories viewed through a Catholic lens, from a layman's questions and a clergyman's reaction. Now, here's Chris and Father Daniel.
Father Daniel, we're back in studio. Nice to see you.
Chris, you look like you got a little bit of a suntan.
I don't get suntan. I'm Irish.
I know. I was just kidding.
I got a moon burn.
Your freckles look a little bit redder.
There was a full moon where I was.
Weren't you eating bark or something like that?
I was watching bark eaters. Actually, I was sitting on bark eaters.
So you don't consider yourself a bark eater?
No, I was.
Adirondack?
No, I sit on bark eaters. I sit on Adirondack chairs.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I hope it was restful and that you come back renewed to Atlanta.
Same.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good break as well.
I did.
First topic we're going to talk about today is what I'm going to call the pursuit of excellence. You know who Scottie Scheffler is?
Isn't he a basketball player?
No,
I'm just kidding. He's a golfer.
Right.
I think, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Right. Just won the British Open a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He, in his post-tournament broadcast or press conference, rather, for the Byron Nelson Championship, which is in his hometown of Dallas,
mm-hmm.
he made some remarks which included, quote, "It feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf and to have the opportunity to win that tournament, my hometown mm-hmm. tournament."
Right.
You win and then it's like, okay, what are we going to eat for dinner? Life goes on. He goes on to say, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from the sense of the deepest places of my heart. So,
wow, that's profound.
Right. And this is the number one golfer in the world. And he's basically on a, you know, trend here with his wins that would be akin to what Tiger Woods did when he was winning in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he's discovering what every person who has accomplished great things in life is discovering.
Well, it's interesting, though, his take, because it's not how everybody approaches it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately after he said this, Tom Brady, the quarterback, the retired right. quarterback, came out and had some comments that were a little bit dismissive of what he had to say.
Hmm.
So he chimes in and says that basically Scottie is saying that he'd rather be a better father and husband than a good golfer. And Brady says, why can't we have both? And this is comical because
Tom Brady's history. Tom Brady's family, unfortunately.
Right. So, right. He's just to recap, he, you know, chose to not retire against the wishes of his then wife, Gisele Bündchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up, you know, that was supposedly one of the reasons why they got divorced. And then, you know, earlier than that, he had this child out of wedlock with actress Bridget Moynihan.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out that she was pregnant, you know, he left her. And I don't know who he ended up going to date, but eventually finds Gisele Bündchen. So he's not exactly like the model
right.
of, you know, what a father is supposed to be.
Well, he's clearly had his priorities elsewhere. And he's reaping we reap what we sow, Chris. And if your priorities and values are not aligned with what actually helps the flourishing of the human person, you're going to end up with a miserable life. And it's great that Scottie Scheffler is realizing that there's more to life than golf and to achieving just, you know, some random goals that we might set. And I think that can happen to anyone in any sector of life, whether it's sports, business, music, whatever field you're in. If you're just setting arbitrary goals that aren't aligned to the flourishing of the human person and God's plan, you're going to end up empty.
Absolutely. And so you contrast this take by Tom Brady with the take from Josh Allen, the mm-hmm. quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And he's kind of, you know, it's universally agreed upon that he's a good family man.
Yeah.
And he comes out and says, after Brady's comments, that he found this so refreshing and it really resonated with
right.
him. And, you know, Tom Brady is arguably the best quarterback to ever play.
Mm-hmm.
Scottie Scheffler is at the top of his game. He is right now, without question, the best golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not just a flash in the pan. He's done it now for, you know, a sustained
several
period of time.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no reason to think that he's not going to continue in this trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have two guys that, if you just compare Scottie with Tom Brady, two guys at the top of their game, but one singularly focused seemingly only on the game. The other
mm-hmm.
with this more, you know, balance
holistic
of life
and human yeah. approach to life.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think my take is Scottie's approach is not only, you know, the more correct approach, but I think it's actually better for his.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Right.
There's no doubt. I mean, I work with people all the time and, you know, in spiritual direction with people and understanding what makes people tick, what makes them happy. I mean, there's no doubt that if we don't have a balanced life with God first, your spouse second, your children then after that, you're going to be messed up.
Well, there's a name for when you do what Tom Brady is doing or has done, and it's that a performance-based identity.
Yeah.
And I have definitely been guilty of that in my life where...
Me too.
Right. Yep. And so I have found, though, particularly when I'm competing, that when I step back and realize it's just a game, that I play my best,
yep.
Not when I'm pressing myself.
And you enjoy it more, too.
And I enjoy it more.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, it's comparable to a lesson that I had to learn through cancer. You know, I was going with a, you know, I wanted to accomplish a lot of things, make a lot of things happen, which sounds kind of strange because, I mean, I'm a Catholic priest. But I wanted to do great things for God. And I had to realize through the near-death experience of cancer and all that I went through that people are more important than projects. And when we get that backwards, our life is just not as fulfilling as God wants it for us.
Well, you're familiar with the saying, at the Feast of Egos, everyone goes away hungry?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Okay, well, that's from Confucius.
Mm-hmm.
But you might as well have attributed it to Jesus or Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is kind of would be reflective of Tom Brady's take on things where he's so singularly focused on just football, and he's really kind of put that above his family.
Yeah,
and why would you do that? Only for your ego.
Yeah, there can be a lot of ego in there, and it can be some misplaced values early on. And I think that's where it's important, Chris, that, you know, parents today and young people, you know, keep things in perspective. When kids are in travel sports or they're, you know, in league soccer or baseball, whatever it is, let's keep some perspective.
Yeah.
And I was talking with a parent just recently, and they were telling me how their kid was not struggling at school. I was meeting with one of the teachers, and the parents basically told the kid, you know, well, you know, if things don't work out with your baseball career, you do need to study so that you can get a job later. I was like, what? How did we get these things backwards?
Well, one tidbit about Tom Brady is that he used to play in the backyard next door to where my wife grew up in San Mateo, California.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyways.
Crossed Wires. If there's an aspect of this topic that wasn't addressed or you'd like further clarification, send it to crossedwires@thequestatlanta.com.
Father Daniel, I got to ask you, do you support the use of artificial birth control measures?
Chris, where do you come up with these questions? I love how you always bring these things up, spur of the moment, don't prepare me at all, but of course not. And it's something that's clearly contrary to the teachings of the church. But, you know, sometimes people look at that as like, oh, the church is always about saying no's. It's actually so much more than that. It's really about what the church is saying yes to, because we're saying yes to life, saying yes to the beauty of unity among couples, saying yes to the beauty of going green.
All right. Well, before you go too much further down this road, I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this.
All right.
I have to say, I support the use of artificial birth control for rats.
For rats. Wow. That's so noble of you.
What is the rattiest? What is the rattiest city in America?
The rattiest city in America. Man, you put all these tough questions to me. I would say Chicago.
Very good. Chicago. Yeah. 10th year in a row, by the way.
I barely beat out New York City.
And New York
is up
there in third place, but second is L.A.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, so they, you know, were poisoning rats, and then the rats would get eaten by various birds, specifically owls. And then it's killing the owls because of the rat poison in the...
Right.
So they went and tried to do contraceptive pellets instead.
Okay.
To control the rat population.
And how
so,
did that work out?
Well, it's an experiment that's just beginning, but I think it's an interesting question in my ranking of species that shouldn't exist on the planet. If we get rid of them, you know, any way possible, mosquitoes would be one. And I know they do that already. They try to sterilize mosquitoes.
The lake I was just at, oh man. I was up in Lake Superior camping for a few days with my best friend from grade school and high school. We had so many mosquitoes. We were talking about like doing something like this, try to eradicate the mosquito population. The other thing that I would get rid of is the black flies.
Oh, well, that's third on my list. Second is fire ants. And if you didn't grow up in Texas, you really probably...
I actually didn't have much experience with
fire
ants.
Let me tell
you.
Yeah, you would never camp anywhere in Texas without first clearing the area of fire ants. But what do you think about using this sterilization, birth control for the rat population? Any problem with that?
That's an interesting question. I think in order to limit the population, I wouldn't see a problem with it because you don't have the moral problems that you have with human beings. which is the unit of procreative act of, you know, a part of God's creation, etc. I think you might have an issue if we start looking at it from the perspective of trying to eliminate an entire population or species. We've had a number of species that have gone extinct over the millennia. You know, we don't have dinosaurs anymore. We don't have different things. It hasn't radically altered the course of the planet or, you know, ruined God's plan. But I think there's a lot of times there's secondary side effects to human actions that, you know, it might be good to think through a little bit
more. I think we should take our chances and just go ahead and get rid of them all.
But wait a minute. I mean, you think about rats and World War One and in the trenches. They carried out a function of getting rid of corpses.
No, there definitely is.
Sorry,
the
that's kind of gruesome.
No, but vultures and flies and all these things that take care of, you know, the dead. But I'm sorry, skeeters. Let's just go ahead and, I mean, I know the
I'm
bat
sure
population wouldn't exist because we didn't have mosquitoes.
There you go. And bats. I mean, I like bats.
Sure,
I
like bats.
A lot of people don't like bats. And snakes. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things we could, you know, think about here. But yeah, in general, I would say there's probably not a significant moral problem. I think we should be circumspect about the potential consequences we're not thinking of, though.
Crossed Wires. If there's an aspect of this topic that wasn't addressed or you'd like further clarification, send it to crossedwires@thequestatlanta.com. Crossed
Wires. Let's talk about the shifting views on morality in America.
Mm-hmm.
According to Gallup polls, 55% of 18 to 34-year-olds think changing one's gender is morally acceptable. 59% of the same demographic think that abortion is morally okay. And then this is a bit more surprising to me. 31% of that same demographic thinks that polygamy is morally acceptable.
Wow, that's bizarre.
So I can see, I don't agree with it, but I can see because of the way we characterize things like gender transitioning and abortion and you know, sex without consequences in the media and in movies, how the youth might be prone to be thinking wrongly about these things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or being influenced by, you know, what they see.
Definitely influenced. We're all influenced by the culture that's around us. Even older people, things that we're seeing in the media or talked about on TV shows, they affect us.
But polygamy, this age group thinking of this as being morally acceptable is a definite surprise to me. Mm. And I would directly draw a line between that and the Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage and the slippery slope that we entered on when we did
there's
that.
There's no doubt in that regard, because there has been a slipping of understanding of the underpinnings of Catholic morality or basic Christian worldview. There's no doubt that because we have a more unchurched population, a less Christian population, the views on morality in general are going to go more and more towards kind of the aberrations that we're seeing.
Well, I mean, if you think that it's morally okay, it's not long then that we say that polygamy is legal.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that marriage between, you know, one man and one woman is no longer...
Hey, the Mormons might have a new revelation. Go back to their original beliefs.
Yeah. And then what's to stop us then to go with why not the ability to marry your pet? Some people are so, you know,
sure,
into their pets. And, you know, you had Leona Helmsley back in whenever that was, 15, 20 years ago, leaving $12 million to her dog, who was named Trouble, by the way.
How did Trouble spend it?
He was limited by the courts to $2 million of it, so he had a tough time. He didn't have nearly the retirement that he was.
Poor little dog.
Right. Man. But the fact that they legally allowed that.
That's bizarre. That must have been in California.
She was in New York, so.
New York, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, it just is a natural progression to where you'd say, okay, well, then why not make it legal to marry your pet? Or the newest thing that you're seeing on TV that I don't watch TV, but that I hear and I read about, are shows like White Lotus, and another one was Game of Thrones, which I did watch,
right,
where they're now starting to kind of normalize incest.
Yeah.
And all of this,
all
I think, is...
All different types of sexual liaisons. I was just in Louisville, Kentucky, driving through yesterday and on my way back to Atlanta, and I saw several billboards that said, "Love makes a family," and it had a picture of, you know, multiple, like, obviously not related people, and like two, I couldn't tell if they were men or women that were there, and it was three people. It was just like... Well, no, it's a little bit more than just love and generic that makes a family. It's a husband and a wife who are committed in a relationship. And yes, I think that there's definitely a part that's played by this straying away from a Christian worldview. I think there's another factor in play, though, too, Chris. And I think it's life experience. In every study that's ever been done, as young people get older and garner more life experience and see what leads to happiness and what doesn't, the young people trend more conservative as they get older.
Yes, but if you took that same poll pre-Obergefell decision of the Supreme Court 10, 15 years ago, I guarantee you that the answers from that same demographic, regardless, you know, that
without a doubt
would have been different. Yeah. So I think we've just entered. I think there is a real fork in the road with that decision that we got ourselves onto the slippery slope, and we are now.
Well, we've been sliding on the slippery slope for a long time. It's not, that wasn't the first one. You go back even to Casey before that and said, you know, each person can define what happiness and value means for them. We're in this world of just kind of relativism where we're unmoored from any principles and clear teaching. And it's creating tremendous confusion. So that we can look at it from this perspective of statistically what people are thinking. But when you start looking at it from the perspective of the impact this is making on lives, like real impact, like people who are confused, who are not getting married, or they're trying to marry their pet, and they're just not fulfilled.
All right, so where's the bottom? When do we hit bottom and start going the other
way? That's a great question. I mean, and here I think we have to look a little bit at historical perspective. You know, look back at ancient empires and civilizations, which crumbled when the family began to fall apart. You look at the ancient Greek civilization when they started to fall into homosexuality and having, you know, all kinds of relationships, pedophilia with children, and became the norm in the Greek Empire, and it fell apart. Same thing happened 150 years, 200 years later in the Roman Empire. And we are seeing, you know, similar things happening in our culture today. When you bottom out the family, and because the family is no longer more to those deep values and understanding of who God is and his plan, things begin to fall apart. Now, I think we can reverse that trend, but that comes from God's grace. That comes from each one of us working to build up the family within God's plan.
Crossed Wires. If there's an aspect of this topic that wasn't addressed or you'd like further clarification, send it to crossedwires@thequestatlanta.com.
So the next topic I wanted to chat with you about is somewhat related to the prior one. There was a survey that I read about recently that there are 28 countries, this is as of 2024, that had less than half of the adults in their population with internet access.
Right.
Whereas there are 83 countries where the access rate has reached 80%.
Wow.
So the gap is centered on countries in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, with some of these countries reporting under 20% of their population having internet access. So ignoring the benefits of internet, the economic benefits of internet connectivity.
And many other things.
Sure, that's what I'm going to ask you about. Is this morally a problem in any way that there's this massive technology access gap?
Morally problem? No. I think there's advantages and disadvantages of being connected to the internet, and we all know them. I just spent several days out camping with a good friend from grade school and high school, and he took away his children's devices, and we were out in the wilderness where, unfortunately, we actually still had cell phone coverage, but the idea was we were going to be off the grid, because something happens when you're off the grid. You start to reconnect with people. You start to notice things around you more. You know, I take an annual retreat every year where I'm in 8 days of silence with no cell phone.
Right, but that's just a retreat.
So awesome.
Right, that's just a retreat. But you have, when you come back, this access.
Yes.
So where I'm going with this is this sort of structural knowledge gap that the folks that lack the access have. And I'm thinking of this and how I relate it to our last topic, that it's, you know, maybe not such a bad thing because, you know, the America and the West, we export to the rest of the world through media and movies a lot of
our cultural values,
bad things,
bad values.
Some of them
times.
Are bad, right?
Not all bad,
but some of them are, you know, with recreational drug use and, you know, gratuitous violence and normalizing this, you know, gender transitioning and, you know, gay marriage, whatever it is. So I would say that the Catholic Church's stance is that they view technology generally as positive because it's a way to spread the gospel.
Yeah, generally.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, knowledge is good.
Yeah, the church has always had a very positive view in general towards technology and trying to take the best out of every new technology.
Right. But at what cost?
Yeah. And that's for each, you know, each country to evaluate as they're trying to put into place these better access to internet. I wouldn't think it's a moral problem per se. There certainly will be disadvantages for populations that aren't connected for commerce and, you know, information.
There definitely, there's no doubt about it, at an economic disadvantage because of it.
Yes. But there are advantages from a preservation of their own culture, keeping a healthier life balance, less anxiety, lots of other things, less access to pornography, which creates a whole series of other problems. So, there's advantages and disadvantages. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much morally neutral whether or not you have access or don't have access.
Lucy Connolly is a 41-year-old nanny in central England who's been in jail for more than a year now because of some message she posted on Twitter. There were three girls in the town of Southport, England, aged 6, 7, and 9, that were murdered by a knife-wielding man at a dance workshop. She sends out this incendiary post calling for mass deportations and for people to, quote, set fire to the hotels housing asylum seekers, and then she later deletes the post. So while the First Amendment in America...
And she was put in jail for that.
Correct.
For a whole year.
Because somebody went out and actually set fire to a hotel that had folks in it.
But based on her post or just kind of like...
Who knows if it...
Randomly tied to...
Well, there was an upswelling of folks retweeting what she...
Okay.
So, so First Amendment laws, obviously, in the U.S. Protect free speech with certain exceptions. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. But the governments in Europe aren't as constrained. And this is a continent that's, you know, scarred by the Holocaust, right? So they have the more loosely defined hate speech laws. And the rise of social media is resulting in many people being prosecuted for things they would never be prosecuted for in the U.S. So how far should laws go in protecting people from their own passions in free speech? And with, you know, the Vatican, of course, supports freedom with responsibility. But where and when do you think the church should step in with a stance on laws regarding free speech?
I think this is an area where the church lays down some general principles, and it's really up to the people of each country to debate it and see what makes most sense in their circumstances. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has some beautiful numbers on our speech, on speaking the truth, on our interactions with other people, our charity towards others. So I think just drawing upon those principles, that's really in the sphere of lay people to debate at the national and the local level, what are the best regulations to put in place.
I would tend towards the... My view is that saying something often replaces doing it. And I think that's one of the pillars, one of the reasons why free speech is so necessary.
Almost like an outlet.
Well, yeah,
release the pent up anger energy or.
Yeah. The adage all bark, no bite. Right. Is.
Yeah. But then you do have people who will take something that someone says and actually act upon it.
So it's the difference is whether you're compelling others to act. But. You know, when it's talking about you yourself and the it's not an actual call to arms for anybody else, I think you'd have to give vast and broad latitude. You know, there's a lot. I read about lots of cases after I read this article in Europe, people who are being jailed for things.
Yeah, there is a lot of that going
posting.
I don't know that we have a solution here from the United States because we have a different cultural perspective and, you know, our free speech laws, which give a certain tradition. But I would leave that up to the, you know, debating on a national level in each of these countries. They got to figure out what's going to work best for them because there can be a certain spectrum of, you know, where you land on this issue.
Well, I would say freedom with responsibility would be what you err towards.
Yes.
Crossed Wires. If there's an aspect of this topic that wasn't addressed or you'd like further clarification, send it to crossedwires@thequestatlanta.com.
Crosswires. Another story about messing with the occult that I want to chat with you about.
Oh, man, another one of these. Really interesting, Chris. I don't know where you pulled these from.
Wall Street Journal had a front page story of a college sophomore from Queens, New York, who spent all spring unsuccessfully looking for the right retail job. So she... pays a witch on Etsy or Etsy?
I don't know. I think it's Etsy, but I mean, I'm the cultural guru here.
She pays a witch to cast a spell for her.
Okay.
The article goes on to cite several anecdotes of mostly the 20-something crowd paying anywhere from $5 to hundreds of dollars for magic practitioners to cast spells for outcomes ranging from ladies looking for a new boyfriend to guys looking on betting, you know, the right outcome on betting on sports.
All right.
We've talked about this before. Can you just remind folks the danger of dabbling in these things?
Oh my gosh, Chris, the devil is real. And oftentimes even there are obviously some, what do you call them? Hucksters out there who are just trying to make a buck. But there's also real people who are engaged with the devil and with the occult, and with very dark forces. Don't mess with that. That's opening a doorway in your soul to really bad things. That's a really, really bad idea.
Well, okay. One of the things that made me think about reading this article, though, is this casting of spells. So as a practicing Catholic who regularly receives the sacraments, let's say you're the subject of one of these spells, not the one seeking it.
Right.
Are you, by virtue of the sacraments, protected from...
Not necessarily. I could tell you specific cases of people who have been on the receiving end of a hex or a curse or a malediction of these types, and it does affect them. And they sometimes need to have recourse to an exorcist to be freed from a hex or a curse that's been placed upon them by someone.
Oh,
so
well,
this
scary.
Is no joke.
I know, but that's pretty scary. If the I assume the sacraments were your armor to protect you.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends on the specific circumstances. And that's why it's so important for us. I mean, every exorcist will tell you that a good confession is more powerful than an exorcism. That the way that the devil gets a hold of us is through sin. So if we're sinning in any way, we're basically opening up our defenses.
Okay, but the person who is innocently, unknowingly the subject of a spell, you're saying is not...
That's exactly what I'm saying, Chris. And I can tell you cases even of little children who have been possessed by demons because a family member got involved with the occult or put a hex or something. This is not stuff to mess around with.
Well, and it certainly is not, I think, fodder for the front page of the Wall Street Journal to be talked about in a joking manner.
Certainly not joking, because it is deadly serious. You know, and there's a lot of people in our society that just kind of joke around and say, wow, these witches, that doesn't mean... No, it's real.
If there's a topic you'd like Father Daniel to address, send it to crossedwires@thequestatlanta.com.
Crosswires. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with a different take on the news.
This has been Crosswires, navigating news with faith, with Father Daniel Brandenburg, LC, and Chris McDonald. Today's secular news stories viewed through a Catholic lens. On AM 1160, The Quest.